Welcome once again to At Home in Your Hymnal. Pastor Clint Poppy, along with me is Pastor Adam Moline. We serve the saints at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode, and I'm going to call it our pandemic episode. A special time to take a look at being at home in your hymnal, and probably never more so in my lifetime have I witnessed a time when people wanted to have a hymnal in their home, wished they had a hymnal in their home, wanted to borrow a hymnal from church so that they could use it at home. Good Shepherd, at the time of this recording, is in a period here in Nebraska where we're trying very, very hard to follow the rule of 10 that has been set down by the governor of Nebraska. Our corporate worship services are suspended. We're treating our entire congregation like shut-ins. We're doing a lot of things over the radio, over the internet, over YouTube, and the need and the desire for people to have a hymnal at home has never been greater. And so we want to devote this entire episode to talking about the importance of having a hymnal in the home and what things you might be able to do with the hymnal in your home that you might not realize are even in this great resource that the Lord has given us. Pastor, have you ever seen anything like this with regard to people needing or wanting a hymnal in their home?
No. Most of the time, I think people are think that a hymnal is kind of an unimportant thing. It's a church book. It's not a home book. And of course, that's actually a new idea. It's only in the last, you know, several decades that people didn't own their own hymnals. You look back in the history of the church, when there were hymnals, you owned one and you brought it with you to church each week. And it's that new idea that it's a church book and it stays in the church and I don't have one at home. And I think this is maybe a good reminder for us about how important it is to have a hymnal at home and to use it, not just to have it sit on the shelf there, but rather to use all the parts of it, to use the prayers, to use the services, to use the hymns, to memorize those, and to have those at your fingertips at any time you need.
The excuse or the reason that I hear so often is that, well, you know, Pastor, we don't have a piano in our house. Nobody in our house plays the piano. We're not really good at singing. So we don't really need or have a use for having a hymnal in the home. And for me, that's an opportunity to teach the people that there is so much more in your hymnal than just hymns. Again, helping people to be at home or comfortable with the contents of what is in the hymnal. And the hymnal that we use right now in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is Lutheran Service Book. And again, if you want one, call the church office and we will deliver one to you. If you want to own one on your own, which is what I highly recommend, go to Concordia Publishing House, cph.org, and you can order one in a variety of different styles and fanciness and price ranges and all that kind of stuff. Pastor, the fact that the hymnal is more than just a book where there's a collection of hymns.
Yeah, it is definitely more than just that. And even the excuse, you know, I don't have a piano. Well, the truth is that for thousands of years, people didn't have pianos or any musical instruments in their homes. And yet the hymns of the church were still learned and sung at home. And so be brave, be bold, even without the piano. But our hymnal, it has a variety of things. It has, first off, it has the lectionaries. So if you wanted to follow along on proclaiming the one, you can see what readings we use each week when we study the lectionary readings. It has the days of Easter. It has the psalms that are in there. It even teaches you how to sing the psalms. It has our five divine services. It has five daily offices: matins, vespers, morning prayer, evening prayer, and compline. It has service of prayer and preaching and the rites for baptism, confirmation, weddings, funerals. It has litanies and prayers, and then it has hymns, and at the end it has an index to teach you who wrote the hymns, where they were, where they come from, what their tunes are, and even how to sing particular hymns to different tunes than you're used to, using a chart that teaches you how many beats per line there are. And so there's lots and lots of tools that are here in this book for you to use, and to ask your pastors how to use those tools is an important thing.
And one of the things that we have done in this particular program, and this special pandemic episode of encouraging you to use your hymnal at home, episode 36. We have done several previous episodes with regard to certain sections in the hymnal. We did an extended section episode with regard to the Psalter, the Psalms, and the Psalms that are in our hymnal, and ways to use them, to read them, to meditate on them, to memorize them, to sing them. We've looked in great detail at Divine Service Setting 1, which is really the Divine Service in general, but zeroing in on the specifics and the tune of Divine Service Setting 1. We've looked at the funeral service. We've looked at worship in general, theologically. We've looked at a lot of specific things here. The section of the hymnal that I want to focus in on this program, this episode 36, is that section of the hymnal that begins on page 294 that says daily prayer for individuals and families, and it runs all the way through page 330, which is Luther's Small Catechism. You may or may not know that Luther's Small Catechism, the part that Luther actually wrote, not the questions and answers, but Luther's Small Catechism is in your hymnal, a great resource that is right there with you to help you with your personal or your family devotions. So we want to focus on this section of the hymnal that most people don't know or don't realize is actually in the hymnal, to be an aid during this time of pandemic, this time when many people are not able to go to the corporate worship services of God's house, or when the restrictions are lifted, hopefully soon, they may be afraid to go to the corporate services of God's house for a while. They may be, because they're in a high-risk category, they may be forced or encouraged to stay home. And there are still many, many things that we can do, teach, and encourage with regard to ways to stay in God's Word during this time when corporate worship is not happening. Pastor, that section on page 294, daily prayer for individuals and families. So we have one page in our hymnal, and it precedes three little services, and I guess there are four there, three little devotional services, devotion for morning time, page 295, devotion for noon time, page 296, devotion for early evening, and where I come from, that would be supper time, page 297, and then a devotion at the close of the day before you go to bed. Now, when we come back from our break, I want to talk about those specific devotions that are there. I want to focus on this first part, this page 294, in the time that we have left, daily prayer for individuals and families. And to preface it, it says, these brief services are intended as a simple form of daily prayer for individuals and families and in other settings. When more than one person is present, the versicles and responses may be spoken responsively, with one person reading the words in regular type and the others responding with the words in bold type. Prayers that are in bold type are to be prayed by all. And it says, for the reading, several verses are recommended for each particular time of the day. These may be used on a rotating basis. The value in using these texts lies in the opportunity to learn them well. For those desiring a more complete selection of readings, daily lectionaries such as the one found on page 299 to 304 may be followed. Readings from the Small Catechism, 321 to 330, may also be incorporated into the services. In the prayers for others and ourselves, The following suggestions may be used to establish a pattern of daily and weekly prayer. Pastor, why is it important for a Christian, especially the Christian who is the head of the household, to establish a pattern of daily and weekly prayer?
Well, think about it in terms of a marriage between a husband and a wife. They're married, but if they don't actually talk with one another, the relationship is lacking in some ways. Or even if they just talk to each other very rarely or maybe once a week, you know, it's still technically a marriage, but it is not functioning the correct way. And with Christians, the same thing is true. If we're not actually listening to God and talking to God, then it's betraying something about our relationship with God. And when we have a problem with the relationship between God and us, the truth is that the problem is with us, because God is perfect and holy. And so we're betraying a sinful nature within ourselves that does not want to talk to God. And so that's something we always are repenting of and seeking to keep the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, and the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, by fulfilling these duties. And it teaches our family members, our children, our friends, that these are very important things for us and for our families, and that they actually have value and matter. And that's another important part of this whole picture as well.
There are some that would say, Pastor, that unless you pray from the heart, it's not a real prayer. And to pray a prayer that is written down or one that is a little more formal and structured is somehow less of a prayer or less efficacious or betrays a lack of faith. How would you respond to that?
I would disagree with that. I mean, you could, again, take that same idea and apply it to different things. So if you're talking about singing, if you can only sing a song that comes out of your heart and onto your mind, or otherwise it's not a real song, then you're never actually going to be able to sing, because you have to do things that are written down and simple and rote memorization to learn how to do something before you're good at it and able to do ex corde prayer or out of the heart prayer. Or again, you could do lots of different examples of things like this. The prayers that are written down here and in the hymnal, in the prayer book, that you can buy, things like that, they're there to teach us what prayer looks like and how to use it so that we can learn that and then use it effectively on our own later.
And in the same way that you teach your little kids how to speak a few words and a few phrases at the time, and before long, they can speak all on their own. That's really what we're talking about here. This is At Home in Your Hymnal, Episode 36, How to Use Your Hymnal at Home During a Pandemic. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to look at the daily prayer offices, page 295 and following. Don't change that dial. O little flock, fear not the foe. Welcome back to At Home in Your Hymnal. This is episode 36 of our program, and I've been referring to this as our special pandemic edition or episode, but really it is one that will transcend any time issues that are going on right now, because it's just an encouragement for Christians to have a hymnal at home, to use their hymnal at home, and to be at home, to be comfortable with the contents of the hymnal, not only for the corporate worship services of God's house, but for individual and family devotions. We're looking at the section of the hymnal that is titled Daily Prayer for Individuals and Families, page 294 and following in Lutheran Service Book. We talked at the end of the first part of this episode, we talked about the importance of that conversation and a daily exercise or repetition with regard to the conversation that we have with God. And some of the things that you were saying there, Pastor, reminded me quite a bit of the classical model of education. You know, I asked you, why should we follow more rote prayers or follow the things that are written down here? You gave a wonderful explanation, and it made me think about the classical model of education. First, there is the grammar stage where you learn the ABCs and the 1-2-3s. Then there is the logic phase or stage where it's kind of a what does this mean, kind of an inquisiting back and forth. And then the third phase or the third stage is the rhetoric where you're able to speak or defend things on your own. And that's really what we're talking about here. Pastors are not born with an innate quality to be able to stand up in any and every situation and give a Bible passage or give a prayer. It comes after years and years and years of practice, years and years and years of praying the specific prayers that are listed in the altar book, to the point where you become so comfortable with them that the language there becomes your own language, that you're able to form and adjust as the needs arise. And so the goal isn't just to read words on a page, but to grow in the knowledge of your faith. Have you found that to be true, Pastor?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, for example, the prayers of the church that we use on Sunday morning that are in the altar book, those you get to know, they're really handy when you're learning how to be a pastor and how to pray, because you don't forget anything or anyone. You cover all the topics necessary, or take the litany, the same thing, right? What could you pray for that's not already contained in the litany in some way? It's all there. And so you learn the prayers and you learn how to pray for these things and you learn what things you ought to pray for, so that when the need arises and you're visiting the person dying or having surgery or mourning the loss of a loved one, you have a whole bunch of prayers in the back of your mind that you can borrow from, if you will, and use to pray for the specific circumstances of the people that you're with. And that's not just for pastors, that's for lay people as well. You know, you have the ability, if you are regularly doing one of these prayer services, to know scripture, to know prayers, and to be able to use those when the need arises within your own family.
On page 294, there are prayer suggestions for each day of the week. And I think these prayer suggestions fall into that same category. You are given these suggestions for 7 specific days, and in a sense, it encompasses the whole of church and state and family, the 3 estates. You are encouraged throughout the 7 days to pray for all of those things, and after a while, it becomes sort of a part of you. You don't have to pray for this on a particular day. It just becomes a natural part of your prayer life. Let me give you an example. On Sunday, for the joy of the resurrection among us, for the fruit of faith nourished by word and sacraments. Sunday's a day when you go to church. So you pray that the fruits that are distributed in the divine service would be there and efficacious. Monday, for faith to live in the promises of your holy baptism, for one's calling of day and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for schools, colleges, and seminaries, for good government, and for peace. That's talking about our society, our neighbors, how we are good citizens, and we are praying that the government, the civil authorities, would do what God has placed them there to do. On Tuesdays, for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, the tortured and oppressed, for those struggling with sin. There, the focus is more inward, to the inward temptations and struggles that we and our neighbor are dealing with. And it goes on and on. Wednesday is marriage and family. Thursday, church and pastors. Friday, for the preaching of the Holy Cross. Oh, Jesus died on a Friday. Saturday, for faithfulness to the end, for renewal, for those who are withering in the faith or fallen away. Throughout the suggestions for the week, the whole of the Christian life in family, in state, in church, is really encouraged and encompassed in that prayer life. And in so doing, a rhythm and a pattern is developed so that you don't even have to look at what these particular days suggest. You just know what to pray for. Pastor, many Christians, many Lutheran Christians, struggle with prayer. How would you encourage the Christian to pray and to pray on a more regular basis?
Well, the way I'd encourage them to pray on a more regular basis would just be to learn some of these prayers, to read them regularly, to make it a priority with your family at meal times. That's a nice time to do it because everybody should be gathered together usually. And maybe I'm old-fashioned in that, but I think that's a good time to do it. And at bedtime, when you first get up with the kids, you can do it. And it maybe sounds crazy, and you say, oh yeah, that sounds really good. My family does this. We pray at meal times. We pray before bed with the whole family together. So it is something that you can do. And to learn how to do it, start with the Lord's Prayer. That's an easy one. In the Small Catechism, it says, has a daily prayer section there too, where in the morning, make the sign of the cross, pray the Lord's Prayer, confess the creed, and go off to work singing a hymn. That'd be a good way to do it as well. It's simple. It's easy. Anybody can do those things, and it helps you get into habit so that when those bigger things come, you're able to do that.
Earlier, you mentioned the specific prayers at the altar book that really helps a new or a young pastor to pray it in an all-encompassing way. And then after a while, those prayers really become a part of your fiber in your being.
And not just pastors, too. I think it's good for the members of the congregation to hear the same prayers regularly so that they kind of know what to expect is coming and are able to use them themselves.
And to learn that language, starting on page 305 in your hymnal, 305 in Lutheran Service Book, through 318, so that gives us 13 pages. Not every prayer that's in the altar book for the pastors, but many of them are here in the exact same words, styles, and form. And so as you are going through your daily prayers, and for example, you're on a Wednesday, and the suggestion for Wednesday is to pray for marriage and family, husbands and wives, parents and children, that they live in ordered harmony according to the Word of God. Well, you may think, I really don't know how to do that. I really don't know how to pray for marriage and family and moms and dads and husbands and wives. You go to the section on page 315 where it says home and family. And there are prayers for home and family, for those who are married, care of children, for young persons, for children in crisis, for the aged, asking a blessing at mealtime, for those who are moving. And there are suggestions there of specific prayers that you can pray. And for me, I am always amazed that there are prayers for situations that I had just not even thought about. When this pandemic started in the United States, then we realized how bad it was all throughout the world, I thought to myself, it's too bad that the altar book doesn't have any prayers for times of pandemic and epidemic. And you know what? How sadly mistaken I was. There were several specific prayers for times of epidemic, times of pandemic, times of national crisis. And I thought to myself, how silly and how faithless I have been to think that the church now is experiencing something that it's never experienced before. And I was brought to my knees in repentance, and many of the prayers that we have shared on our Sunday morning and Wednesday evening worship services, and also the daily devotions that we've been providing, are from that exact section in the altar book with regard to the prayers for time of epidemic. Pastor, comments on that?
Yeah, and so use this section that's in your hymnal, the prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings, but also note the page facing that, page 304 in your hymnal. You also have the Psalms as another guide for prayer, because that's what many of the Psalms are. And so you have this great table for Psalms for daily prayer. In the season of Lent, it says, here's what you pray. In the season of Easter, it says, here's how you pray them. Then the rest of the year until you get to Advent and Christmas, all these seasons have their own little section. And that's another helpful place to look for resources on how to pray and what to pray for.
We got into this by talking about this section in daily prayer in your hymnal. During a time of pandemic, many people have found themselves at home on Sunday morning or Wednesday night when they're normally in church. And what do you do? Well, we've worked really hard here at Good Shepherd to provide not only the radio, which we've been blessed with for a long time, but also several other internet sources with Facebook and YouTube and audio and visual ways to worship. And people have said, boy, it'd sure be nice if we had a hymnal that we could follow along with. And so Vicar has been distributing hymnals at home. We've had people stop by the church to pick up a hymnal. We're not using them on Sunday mornings, so we're happy to share. But to encourage people to get out your hymnal, whether you're listening on the radio or watching on YouTube or Facebook, and follow along. How much better it is to have your hymnal open and follow along with the worship services, with the prayers, with the hymns, rather than being distracted with your cell phone or with the laundry buzzer that goes off right in the middle of the sermon, or with going to the refrigerator for a snack, or any of these things that so often distract us. The hymnal is a great blessing, and when we come back from our break, we want to look specifically at the four prayer offices that are there for individual and family devotion, pages 295 and following. This is At Home in Your Hymnal, episode 36. Don't change that dial. Welcome back to At Home in Your Hymnal, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline. We serve the saints at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. This is episode 36 of At Home in Your Hymnal. I've been calling this the special pandemic episode. Oh, little flock, fear not the foe. We got a lot of fear and a lot of phobia going on right now. People are afraid to talk to one another, afraid to leave their house, afraid to go anywhere without a mask on or their bottle of pure or some other disinfectant lotion. These are strange times that we live in. In my almost 62 years, I've never seen anything like it. The only thing even close was when I was a little kid and the polio scare that was going through America. But people have been told not to go to church. And we're dealing with some severe restrictions. And in this episode, we're encouraging people to get a hymnal. If you don't have one at home, you should realize now how important it is to have one at home. So you can follow along with the worship services that Good Shepherd or your congregation is providing. And also to use that hymnal in a variety of ways for personal and family devotions. On in your hymnal, page 294, Lutheran Service Book and following, there's a short section called Daily Prayer for Individuals and Families. Page 294 talks about the importance and the structure. And then starting on page 295, we have four little orders of service, very, very brief orders of service for individual and family devotions. I want to take a look now at the morning devotion on page 295. And it begins, and again, with regard to your hymnal, the little italics print in red, those are called rubrics. And it's nothing fancy, wild, or crazy. Rubric means red in Latin. And so you do the red.
It's where ruby comes from.
There you go. It's where the word ruby comes from. You do the red, and you speak with that print that is in the dark or the black. So it's kind of a little phrase amongst pastors. Do the red, say the black. That's what we do. That's what how you lead worship. And so it says, the sign of the cross may be made by all in remembrance of their baptism. Pastor, is that a Roman Catholic thing? Why would a Lutheran Christian make the sign of the cross in the morning?
Well, I mean, you could say it's a Roman Catholic thing. The truth is, it's a Christian thing that was done long before the church was Roman or Catholic, all the way back to the very beginning in the early church. The sign of the cross was made as a remembrance of baptism, as a remember that we are marked in Christ, that we are clothed in his righteousness, and that he's taken away all of our sin. It's even a part of our own baptismal rite. Receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Making the sign of the cross is just making one big cross over where those two crosses were made in our baptism.
Amen. Amen. And then the very first words of invocation, the words that God used to bring us into the kingdom, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a little morning litany here from Psalm 5, Psalm 71, and Psalm 51. You want to do that responsively with me, Pastor?
Sure.
In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice.
In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all the day.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
And then the Gloria Patri.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. By praying that morning litany, either completely by yourself or with another person, those psalms and those phrases, those responses, become embedded in your mind and in your heart. Very, very key and foundational passages that teach us that we ask God to watch over us through the day, that our life as a Christian is a sacrifice to the God who has sacrificed everything for us. Our mouth is filled with a lot of things, and God desires that it would be filled with the praise and glory of him all day long. And the only way that that can happen is if God opens our mouth, opens our lips, and then our mouths will declare his praise. And so very, very key foundational teachings with regard to what it means to be a Christian. And then the format here is the same on each of the morning, noontime, early evening, before bed structures. A hymn, canticle, or psalm may be sung or spoken. An appointed reading or one of the following is read, and then there are several Bible passages listed. A portion of the small or large catechism may be read. The Apostles' Creed is confessed. Lord's Prayer, prayers for others and ourselves, and then two concluding prayers. And the last of the concluding prayers is Luther's morning prayer from the small catechism. Pastor, comments about the overall structure of the service, not just the morning service, but the overall structure of this individual or family devotion.
Well, if you look at all of them, they do kind of reflect the bigger services of the church that we do. For example, the early evening one reflects evening prayer service. The close of the day reflects Compline, etc. And so, in a way, what it's doing, and this is correct and rightly understood, this is the way the reality actually is, it's bringing the church not just as a occurrence that happens here in this particular building, but rather it's bringing it right into the home and saying Christianity is not merely bound to the building of the church, but rather it is attached to us as Christians, and we gather as Christians in all these different places. And so we hear God's word, we sing a hymn or a psalm, we confess our faith with the creed, we pray the Lord's Prayer and the other prayers. A miniature service is being done in the home, and this is the way it was designed in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Adam was the first pastor who was supposed to lead his family in worship. Luther has a great sermon on this in his Genesis commentary. Adam leads the worship service at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said, God said, you may not eat from this tree. This is the word of the Lord. And Eve's supposed to say, thanks be to God. And that was this church service. That's the same thing that now we're doing in our homes. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. We're doing those services again back where they, in a way, belong, with Christians in the family, in the home. And then together as a large group, we gather on other days of the week for the church services here in the building.
I love the, well said, thank you. I love the rhythm and flow that is in is displayed in these four examples of these daily prayers for individuals and families, because it does, like you said, mirror the rhythm and flow in our corporate worship services. The morning service reflects matins and morning prayer. The noontime service reflects, at least in part, the litany. And then we have the other services, evening prayer or vespers in that early evening one, compline at the prayer at the close of the day. We have these things that we are taught in God's house, that we worship corporately as the body of Christ in this place. And we don't compartmentalize it into an hour or two each week. We then bring it home. Individually and as a family, we bring it home. We know that the power is in God's word. He speaks, and then we respond. And we have a variety of God's word that is speaking to us in a very, very real and regular way.
And just imagine, if you're a parent listening, what that teaches your child if you prayed at breakfast, at lunch, at dinner, and before bed, as it's laid out here. Think about the amount of time that you're spending as a parent teaching your child God's word. Think about how important a child will understand that that is for you, that you spend so much of your time with them interacting with God's word. And think about what your ultimate goal is for your child, whether they make it in the NFL because you also taught them to tackle, or whether they're an accountant or a business person or, you know, whatever.
Famous scientist discovering a cure for coronavirus.
Right. Do any of those things matter in the end when they die? What does? God's word, faith. And this is an opportunity then as a parent or as a Christian to teach those in your household how important God's word is for them.
Isn't it amazing that we would have no problem encouraging our kids to sit down for a 30-minute episode of Peppa Pig, or My Little Pony, or Josh and Drake, or SpongeBob SquarePants, but the thought of sitting down for 10 minutes, maybe 12, with a regular devotion like this, once or twice or three or four times a day, seems like the most foolish waste of time that we could possibly have. How did we get to this point, Pastor?
Yeah, it's we got to this point because we're sinful people and we think we know better than God's word. But God's word is very clear, as we've seen in these quotes, you know, morning, noon, and evening. We need to be in God's word. I think that's in the noontime service from Psalm 55. That's the truth. Or here's the other thing, right? We have these people who go out there and they say, but if we're just saying the words over and over again, then it doesn't mean anything. We're just going through the motions. There's a certain amount of truth to that, but that's not a problem with God's word. Again, that belies a problem with us and our sinful nature that we need to repent of. And the solution in that repentance is more of God's word and us actually paying attention to it.
In each of these services, these four suggested services in Lutheran Service Book, page 295 and following, there are appointed readings, or one of the following is read. We're going to talk about the appointed readings when we get back from this particular break that's coming up. But in each one of these sections, they have 8 or 9 or 10 suggested readings. And these are some of the most key and foundational passages in all of Scripture. Colossians 3, set your mind on higher things. Exodus 15, the deliverance from the Red Sea and that song that follows. Isaiah 12, the great, great song of faith that we sing in the Old Testament canticle, service of prayer and preaching. And it goes on and on and on here. The importance of being in God's Word on a regular basis, not just Sunday morning or Wednesday evening, but the importance of being in God's Word on a regular basis in the life of a Christian. Pastor?
Well, there's no way that we could possibly oversell that. It is the most important thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is always, always, always attached to God's Word, and so as Christians, we need that Word. We need that Word a lot. We need it every day. We need it continually throughout our entire lives, the same way that the flowers in the pot on your front porch need to be watered every day or they'll be scorched and die. The same is true for us with God's Word. We need it, we need it, we need it. As the rain and the snow come from heaven and water the ground and make it bear fruit, so too God's Word does for our faith.
Now, that's Isaiah 55, and I'm sure that's one of the readings that's listed there. We need to take a short break. This is At Home in Your Hymnal, episode 36, our special pandemic issue and episode. When we come back, we're going to take a look at more appointed readings in God's Word and how to use your hymnal when you're stuck at home. Don't change that dial. Welcome back to At Home in Your Hymnal. Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline, we serve the saints at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. This is episode 36, and we are calling it our special pandemic episode. It's just talking about the importance of having a hymnal in your home, and during this pandemic, when many people are either forced or voluntarily staying home more, corporate worship services of God's house are limited or canceled. The need for a hymnal has popped up in many people's hearts and minds. We're doing our best to encourage people to follow along with their hymnal to the radio programs or the visual worship services and devotions that we're using, and many people have responded in a very, very positive way. Encourage you to have a hymnal of your own, and we have some hymnals here that, you know, sometimes become damaged or have a torn page that we can make available at a discounted price, but Concordia Publishing House is the place to go for a Lutheran service book hymnal. Pastor?
And they have them on sale right now for 23% off. You can buy a pew edition hymnal with the hardcover, the kind you should get for everyday use in your home, for $20 from cph.org.
Be the best 20 bucks you've spent, I guarantee you, in a long, long time. Unless you go for that super deal at Culver's with their custard, which is always preferable, although it doesn't last near as long as your hymnal.
And Pastor Poppy and I receive no kickback from Concordia Publishing House for this advertisement. It is for your good and your good only.
Yes, well, we're encouraging people to be comfortable and to be at home in their hymnal. This section from 294 through 298, the daily prayer offices for individuals and families, one for the morning, one for noontime, one for early evening, and one for the close of the day. It'd be a marvelous, marvelous place. And you don't have to do it four times a day and then feel discouraged because you only did it once or twice or you lost a day or whatever. Anytime, anytime. And this is just to give you some ideas and some structure. Pastor, we talked last time in the last segment about the readings that are suggested there in these four services, and they encompass some of the great readings that are to be repeated often in the life of a Christian. But it says, an appointed reading or one of the following is read. Now, there are many different appointed readings that we could talk about. Earlier, way back in part one of this episode, you talked about the hymnal. In the very beginning of the hymnal, it has a listing for the lectionary. And if someone was going to use the appointed reading as the lectionary for the week, what would they be looking for and what would they find?
Well, you'd turn the front part of the hymnal to Roman numeral page 14, and that's where the lectionaries begin. And what you do is you find the week in the church year that you are, and you look down the line, and you have a corresponding Old Testament lesson, epistle lesson, and gospel lesson that matches every week in the church year, and even a few special days that are not on a Sunday or whatnot. And so there'd be a place to start. And I believe also in the hymnal, there's also a daily reading lectionary that you could use as well.
Yeah, hold off on that just a second. So we've got this lectionary there, and if people turn to that section, they're going to find four different lectionaries. What's that all about?
Well, for many, many years in the church, every year you got the same readings every Sunday. And just like here at Good Shepherd, we follow that same one-year lectionary. In the 1960s and 70s at the Vatican II Council in Rome, they introduced what's known as a three-year lectionary. And that's where you have Series A, Series B, and Series C. And that's the first few that you find in our hymnal are based on the Vatican Rome lectionary, and then the one-year lectionary later on, which would be on page Roman numeral 20, that's the one-year lectionary which we use here at our congregation.
Okay, so if you want to follow along with the readings in the church year, if your congregation is on the three-year series, you can just find the one that they're on. We're on the one-year series here, and the readings repeat every year. Repetition is the mother of all learning, and that has been the way the church historically has done it for well over 1,000 years. Now, Pastor, you mentioned that daily lectionary, and that's on page 299 and following, and it is 299 to 304, so there's five full pages here. And it gives a listing, again, based on the season in the church year, it gives a listing of readings for each day during the week. And I believe it's 6 days during the week. I don't think they give you a reading for Sunday, do they?
I think they do for the one daily lectionary.
Okay, I see. After the first week starts on Ash Wednesday. That's why I didn't see that reading there. But then they do. They give you seven readings for each week, and that's on page 299 through 305. It is not a read through the Bible in a year program. It takes you through the entire New Testament, or about 98% of the New Testament, and about one-third of the Old Testament each year, and it provides a structure for reading and meditating on God's Word. So if you're following along, and if you're using these daily prayer offices on a regular basis, maybe at one time of the day you use the Bible passages that are listed there. Maybe another time of the day you use the lectionary from the Sunday morning worship services at the church you're going to. Maybe a different time of the day you use the daily lectionary. There are many, many different ways to be in God's Word. Now, Pastor, some might say that it is a foolish or a dangerous thing to read the Bible on your own. How would you respond to that? Is that anything that a Christian needs to be afraid of or have some warning about?
No. What I would say is it's an opportunity for you to learn, and this is why God has also sent you a pastor. So if you have a question, or you aren't sure about something, or even you read something and you think you got it figured out, you are always free to contact your pastor, and they're happy to help you figure out what your reading says and make sure you're staying on the straight and narrow in that regard. And that's why God gave you a pastor that's called and ordained and serves in your congregation. Don't go asking a celebrity pastor or the pastor down the road or whatnot. Don't be afraid to talk to your own pastor. They're a gift to God for you to utilize in your local congregation.
We encourage people not only to be in the narrative sections of God's Word, but especially to be in the Psalms. We talked about that early on, and on page 304, you made reference to this once before, Pastor, but on page 304, there is a table of Psalms for daily prayer. Now, I look at this table, and at first it looks a little bit daunting or maybe even confusing. How would I use this particular chart? Say, for example, we're recording this program during the season of Easter, and I'm going to do a morning or an evening prayer. How would I find a particular psalm, and what psalms might I use or read through?
Yeah, so on the column on the left, you'd go and scroll down, you can tell I'm a millennial, right? You'd run your finger down the column on the left until you get to the season of the church year that you're in, and we're in Easter, so you'd stop there. And then the row that goes to the right, you'd go to the day of the week that that corresponds. And so let's say we're on Thursday. So we'd go Easter down on the column to Easter. We'd go across the row to Thursday. And there's three psalms that are lifted, Psalm 47, Psalm 68, and Psalm 113. And then one of them, the one on top, is for the morning, and the two below are for the evening. But you're not bound by that. It's not a law. You won't go to hell if you don't do that. But you could pray Psalm 47 in the evening. You could do one of those. You could do however you wish. You have freedom in that regard, but this kind of is a suggestion to help you get in a regular habit of looking at the Psalms in your daily prayers.
Yeah, my experience has been that many Christians know, maybe three or four or maybe half a dozen Psalms fairly well. Psalm 23, the Shepherd Psalm, Psalm 121, the coming in and going out psalm, maybe Psalm 46, a mighty fortress is our God psalm. But there are many, many psalms that the average Christian just isn't aware of. And it's almost shocking, the word of God that is contained there, that most Christians don't even know. And so a chart like this, again, we're not trying to bind consciences here, but a chart like this would help expose the Psalter to the Christian as a part of their regular individual or family devotions. The last thing I want to talk about here, Pastor, I mentioned it early on, but in this section of the hymnal, page 321 and following is Luther's Small Catechism. And there's a suggestion in each of these prayer offices here for the individuals and families to read a section of Luther's Small Catechism. First thing I want to ask you is, why would a Christian spend time in Luther's Small Catechism when they could be reading the Bible?
Well, the reason is this. Your Bible contains maybe, let's just say the average Bible has 1,000 pages in it, and it's a very overwhelming and daunting book. And, you know, you always run into the people who try to read the Bible straight through, and they might make it to Exodus, they possibly could make it to Chronicles, but somewhere in all those lists of names in the beginning of Chronicles, they peter out, and they never get any further than that. The Small Catechism is itself kind of a summarized version of the Bible. It takes all the important teachings of the Scriptures and the Scripture verses that go with that, and it condenses it into an easy-to-understand and memorize set of readings and words. And so it's really the layman's Bible, if you will. That's what it was written to be, and that's what it can still be for us today, and that's why we encourage people to memorize it and study it regularly, because the more I'm a pastor, the more I learned that the solutions to theological issues people have can always, almost always, be found in the Small Catechism itself.
Yeah, the Bible in a nutshell, it's been referred to. Pastor, in the time that we have left, I have heard some pastors encourage their members to pray the catechism. When somebody encourages you or me to pray the catechism, what do they mean?
Well, what you can do with what is in the catechism is you can take those little sections and readings, and you can turn them into a prayer. For example, take the first commandment, right? You can pray about what it means to have a God, that we should fear, love, and trust in the one true God, that we have failed to do so, but that we seek to do so, and that we know that Christ has forgiven our sins and that he would send the Holy Spirit to increase our faith so that we fulfill the first commandment even more. And we can pray in such a way for all the little little sections of the small catechism and read them and talk about how they affect us to our Lord in prayer, and that's kind of the way that it's talked about in that way.
God's Word is formed and shaped for us in Luther's Small Catechism. As we are in the catechism, that shapes our faith, and it gives us ideas and topics to think about, to meditate on, and to pray for. In this episode 36 of At Home in Your Hymnal, we've been encouraging people to use their hymnal at home during this time when many people can't be in God's house. Use it, follow along with it with the worship services. Use this section starting on page 294 for individual prayers for yourself and your family. And most of all, hear the Word of God. The Word of God which drives away your fear. The Word of God which comforts and encourages you. Have no fear, little flock. Christ is your Savior today and always. God's richest blessings in Christ.